not shaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, June 30th, and we just finished watching this evening's Monday Night Raw, and it is time for us to gather, as we always do, on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post-show. But unfortunately, I just don't know if we're going to have much to talk about this week, so I don't know. I guess that's it.
Okay.
Good night. Not too much.
Bye.
I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness, tonight's Raw was awesome. Holy shit, so much stuff went down tonight. I think you'll be hard pressed to find anybody out there who wasn't at least impressed with something that went down on tonight's show. So why don't we go ahead and start digging into things. First, let me introduce everyone that is with me here tonight. First off, I'm Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio, introducing the rest of folks here, the leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Y'all already know. If it ain't white, it ain't right.
Yes, indeed. And also with us here, the lead host of Addicted to Anime, Mr. Steven Huego.
Yo, yo, yo.
And the president of SmartOutMoment.com, Mr. Tony Mango.
You can't see, but I'm waving right now.
And I don't know if he's made it into the call quite yet, but the host of the Untitled Movie Show, Miguel Leon.
Woo!
All right, the gang is all here except for Mr. Sean Walker.
Hold on. I'll fill in for that.
Hi, Sean.
Parker,
how you doing?
Guys, a lot of awesome stuff went down. So I know it's you, but I just have like a list of 50 things I want to talk about. But let's start things off with our usual first thing I ask you. What's the number one thing you took away from the show tonight? Drew, why don't you start us off?
For me, it's got to be the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla with the return of Chris Jericho. And also the thing that they have going on with Bray Wyatt. I think it's going to be interesting going forward, as one might say.
All right. Mr. Miguel Leon, what is the number one thing you took away from tonight's Raw?
Again, just how unnecessarily long these shows are, because it's 3 hours, and if they cut off one of those hours, man, the show would have been so much better. It just – I don't know. Besides that, I guess I could say the return of AJ Lee.
God, you're such a negative Nancy.
Yeah.
Goodness. You're done. Way go.
Okay. Tonight's show was awesome. Jericho returned, which was a big thing for me. But honestly, the main thing that I'm enjoying the most is this whole Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose thing they've got going on right now. With Seth probably going to be trying to cash in every week and Dean fucking it up, I think it's going to be the most interesting feud going on for a while.
And Mr. Tony Mango, what's the number one thing you took away?
I got to repeat what I've been saying for, I think, 3 weeks now. If WWE puts effort into their shit, man, is it fucking awesome. And all those people that keep complaining and saying that they're quitting watching WWE because it sucked lately, what the fuck do you want if this does not entertain you?
Absolutely. And folks, we want to introduce everyone out there because this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We will have the phone lines opening up at around 11:30. If you want to get yourselves in line, dial in area code 760-512-7247. But if you already want to join the conversation, the chat room is already open on the Blog Talk Radio page. Just go ahead and hit there. Scroll down. You'll see it there. We already got Five Times Combo, Grapple This Production, Slim RJS, and a number of guests. Hey, if you're listening, you're a guest. Why don't you register yourself and get yourself into the chat room? Get things rolling there. Five Times Combo saying, I took away that AJ Lee looks more like a child, way more than I remember. I don't know if I agree with that. She had this weird tan thing going on tonight.
Speaking of child, can we just put to bed those pregnancy rumors now?
Nah, could you not see the belly bump?
Oh,
dude, she was huge tonight. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's got to be like at least 5 months.
She's pro-abortion. That's why she's getting back in the ring.
Oh, you got to go there.
Oh, I thought that was funny. Good job, Wego.
Well, shit, since we're already talking about this, why don't we just follow the conversation into one of our many returns that we had this evening. AJ Lee, a surprise return. I mean, we knew we were getting at least one. They were hyping it up, but it was not to be this one. We just had Paige coming out, had a mic in her hand saying, you know, I'm not typically one of many words. You ain't kidding there. Before she gets to say much more than that, though, we hear AJ Lee's music hit comes out to a raucous applause. AJ Lee giving this little babyface shtick like, oh, you made me realize that I was being a stuck-up little cunt, and that loss was really a wake-up call for me. And apparently that's enough for him to be like, yeah, AJ's hot, woo, she's back, yeah, woo. And AJ Lee manages to coax Paige into defending her title in a match where AJ Lee wins with a roll-up. God damn it. Of course, the Divas got to win with a roll-up, but I don't know. Aside from that, I'm happy to see AJ Lee back. Sucks that, you know, Paige lost it for all the fantasy leg point on blah, 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 blah. But overall, very happy to see AJ Lee back. And I thought the way this was done was really cool. Some people complain that it was always too quick and spur of the moment. And I think that's all answered in the fact that they did the same thing for Paige. And it was a way of them writing themselves out of a corner they were put in. And this is something I might bring up later on, but they've been using this allusion to Seth Rollins as this plan B with this plan B deal. And him himself is a plan B, if you ask me. But I think that plan B has sort of been the theme of this whole entire year, that they've had to been relying on plan Bs. And with AJ Lee, they had to go with plan B with Paige. And now they can return to plan A with AJ Lee back. And that's not to say Paige is anything horrible, but she's no AJ Lee. That's for sure. Well, let's go around and get your guys' thoughts about that. Miguel, you happy to see AJ Lee back?
Yeah, I'm happy to see her back. I think that this is the big marquee feud that the Divas division needs, because since Paige has been champion, she's kind of just been kind of going through the motions. You know, she comes out, she has the standard cage matchup, which is starting to grate on me a bit and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to see where this goes. I do have one question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do we consider this a double turn? Because I don't know who I'm supposed to cheer for and who I'm supposed to boo. It seemed like they were setting up AJ Lee as the face in a way and slowly turning Paige into the heel. I don't know. I mean,
I was getting the impression. I thought if they really wanted to do that, though, they should have had Paige reject giving that title shot. Like, after mm-hmm. the fans cheered for it, Paige should be like, oh, well, I don't care, and left the ring.
Well, I thought she was going to blast it with the title, personally.
I do feel like if I'm going to say one last thing before we move on, I do have to mention two words. Punk Chance.
Yeah.
AJ Punk.
Poor Punk. AJ might have those stuck to her for a long time as she's coming back. But Wago, how'd you deal with this?
I felt a bit odd about it, mainly because I wasn't sure what they was going with as far as who was going to be the heel and face. But if they are turning Paige heel, then that's fantastic, because she's better suited for it. Doesn't come across very well as a baby face to me. People want to bang her, and that's pretty much it.
or lick her belly button.
Yeah, you fucking weirdos. As far as AJ Lee goes, she's the most over diva they've had in, last 5 years at least. So I don't mind transitioning the belt on her. I think she should hold it, and honestly, I don't think they would have had to drop it if she wasn't planning on leaving. So fantastic to have the belt back on her. I'm looking forward to the feud, and I hope they drag it out for a while and don't just have a one match at Battleground and be done with it.
Tony, what's the future for Paige after all this?
Well, there's a positive future, because she was really kind of bland as a babyface. And now that she's heel, she's got some more flexibility there. Although, not to be a downer, I do see some flaws in this. One thing that bothers me, that maybe it's just because I'm somebody who likes to organize things and I like to kind of manage things very conservatively, I thought it was a lock that we were going to get Naomi versus Cameron versus Paige for the title at Battleground, because it's a throwaway pay-per-view. And SummerSlam is something that needs a big card for it to ever be able to feel as good as it's supposed to feel. So to me, I think that WWE is a little short-sighted here, where we've got Miz returning, we've got Jericho returning, we've got all these other crazy things happening tonight. Did we really need AJ returning and a title change on top of this? I think that this would have been much better suited to wait that extra month, do that triple threat match, or just do another rematch between Naomi and Paige, because that match was actually pretty damn good. And then hit this AJ versus Paige thing at SummerSlam. Now, they can't do that match. They have to do a rematch between AJ and Paige at Battleground. And what match are you going to have at SummerSlam? Another AJ and Paige match?
Yeah.
By that point, nobody's going to care.
Mm.
And okay, if AJ drops the title at Battleground and then they just keep doing this back and forth, well, then it's going to be that whole hot potato thing. If she doesn't, nobody's going to take Paige seriously. So I think that they kind of decided to hit the reset button after this pay-per-view a little bit too much, and the Divas division was doing okay where they didn't need to. But glad to see AJ back. Glad to see the double turn going on. Excited to see what's going on in the future. So thumbs up for me, as well as other things being up.
Well, let me address those points you had there. As far as the matches that Paige and AJ could have, we have to consider we still haven't really seen a match of those two. We've only seen these two quick things that have ended in roll-ups. We haven't seen a story told with them. I think if you have a regular match between them at Battleground, perhaps you can set things up to have some type of gimmick match at SummerSlam and really take the Divas division into a deeper ground. I mean, you think about how people just heralded that freaking ladder match that they had over in TNA. Why can't they do something similar like that in WWE? I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, if they could pull that off, that'd be a great way to get around it.
Shit, I can't remember. What was the other thing you were saying?
They were all kind of tied together. Positives and negatives. I don't know. What do you think?
Fuck. Well, whatever. All right, Drew, why don't you take over? What did you think about this?
I liked it. You know, it was a thing, and I promise you that. Thankfully, this was actually, I thought it was
a match.
It was
a thing.
I don't know what I think. You guys kind of hit all the points that if I was going to hit, I was going to hit. The only other thing I could really think of is now there's like 20 fucking things going on in the Divas division that there's too much with the stupid Layla thing and the Bellas and now the Funkadactyls, bomb.com. I don't know what will be important and what will not be important, but thankfully AJ's back. She's a good wrestler.
I think a bit of it is kind of like throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks with the Divas division because it's really been an aimless division for so long. And I think it's great that they're trying to make some new stars out of it. And I don't think all the people that they're giving a little bit of exposure to now are eventually going to make it, but some of them will.
Yeah, it's just that I don't want too much of that on my Raw TV screen just because it will take time away from more important things. But, yep, this is good. AJ's champ again. And we're CM Punk champ for a while now. Let's go.
Well, let's just consider this, guys. We just spent about the first 10 minutes of this show talking about Divas.
It's a damn shame,
Let that settle in.
This is a Divas show.
And none of us said, however.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of our other returns we had this evening. We spent this whole night promoting that we were going to have a return of this former WWE champion, a cross-platform multimedia superstar. And people were ablaze all over the internet trying to speculate who it could possibly be. Seen everything from The Miz to Brock Lesnar to what was some of the other ones that people were saying?
Couple CM Punks, but
yeah, that's every CM Punk.
That one's always going to come up whenever someone's like, "Oh my God, someone's going to return! It's a diva." Ooh, CM Punk.
There's even a point this evening where Vince McMahon's music started playing, and I was like, "Oh, is that the former champion?" Because that would have been awesome. But it ends up being at first The Miz comes out with a sort of a new persona, Hollywood Miz, where he has the sunglasses on and he's got his hair done up a little bit more than he did before, and he's got this fancy white suit, and he was talking with this really soft tone, and I was not feeling it at all. It was really creepy and giving me the giving me the willies. And just as this segment was starting to feel a little too boring, almost perfect timing, fireworks go off, and out comes Jericho. Man, am I happy to see Jericho back. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I flipped. I jumped out of my seat. I didn't yell Jericho's name and dance or anything, but, you know, I threw my hands in the air. I was excited. Most excited I've gotten for a moment in quite some time. Jericho didn't say too much. He just kind of enjoyed the praise in the crowd, hit Miz with a code breaker, and eventually when he did finally say Raw is Jericho, the Wyatts appear out of nowhere. As if the segment wasn't wild enough, the Wyatts beat down Jericho and end with them posing over his lying body. And if you believe the rumors that we're getting, this was a match that was supposed to be set up for SummerSlam, so looks like this is the beginning of that. Wago, I think you're the person who probably has the most emotional investment of the people involved here. What'd you think of this segment?
I loved it, and I did not expect them to bring in the Wyatt family so soon. And it came out of nowhere. This whole segment was just packed, and I'm so glad he interrupted The Miz. As much as I'm a big fan of The Miz, the segment was beginning a bomb. Jericho has this weird thing where he'll grow out his hair way too long and spike it up. It looks fucking awkward. But outside of that, I'm really looking forward to whatever match they have. And they kept the Wyatt and Jericho interaction pretty short and sweet. And that's exactly what they needed to do.
Vix, returning in the chat room. Welcome back, dude. He's saying all of this should have happened after Battleground and not Money in the Bank. Similar opinion to Tony. Feels like this should have been stretched out a little bit longer. Tony, do you feel like maybe this should have been waited a little bit longer to happen?
Not as much as the AJ Page thing, but yeah, a little bit. I kind of thought after the Jericho interruption that Jericho versus Miz would be a cool match to throw on Battleground. And if they do it now, then I guess people won't really care that much, but it does open up something that I already added into my predictions. If they do have that match, I'm thinking Miz wins because of Wyatt family interference, and then that's the way that they can kind of keep this momentum going and all that. But yeah, I mean, they need to be a little bit more conservative about this stuff, because Jericho popping up and doing that with the Miz would have been more than adequate for tonight. And now they're sort of blowing it all. And I got a feeling maybe next week we could get one of those really shitty Raws.
Well, let's not focus too much on next week just yet. We'll worry about that when that bridge comes. Drew, was this segment awesome?
It was okay. I'm just kidding. It was in depth. Awesome. I really enjoyed it. I'm kind of in the same boat as Wago. I do like The Miz. I just think he's been underutilized talent for the past couple years. So it's nice to see him back in his whole Hollywood gimmick. As soon as one of you mentioned Hollywood, I was like, oh, man, Hollywood Hogan's going to come back in the form of Miz. I was just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I'm glad Jericho's back. No matter what feud Jericho has been in for the past, like, 5 years, I've always ended up rooting for him for some reason. So I'm really glad he's back. He's one of my favorites of all times. And hopefully this Wyatt-Jericho thing can be very, very good going into SummerSlam.
Alex Moorhead in the chat room says it wasn't a match.
Well, he's right.
Just saying your words for you, Drew. Miguel, you happy to see Jericho back?
Yeah, I mean, seeing him come back, I really realized just how much he's been missed on WWE TV. You know, he's one of those guys that you can always count on to just really bring the entertainment. I'm really glad he popped up in this segment, because I was literally this close to turning off the show. I mean, up until this point, so little had happened in the episode. No, it goes back to what I was saying. So little had happened up until this point. I honestly, once The Miz came out, I'm like, all right, I'm done. And I almost turned off the TV. As soon as Jericho came back, though, it brought me back into the show. And I'm really glad I stuck with it. I'm not a big Miz fan, so it kind of makes me laugh that they built him up all this return just so they can build up somebody else to return after him. I think that's kind of funny. In terms of Jericho versus Wyatt, I don't know what to make of it, because on paper it doesn't make any sense, but I'm intrigued by it. I want to see what these guys can do, what type of jabs these guys can throw at each other. And, you know, the matchup is going to be pretty good, so I'm really looking forward to this. I want to see where it goes.
I disagree with that one part. I think the match is going to bomb.
I do want to say one last thing, though. I do kind of somewhat agree with Tony in terms of, I thought the pacing of tonight's show was weird. I don't know if I would have splayed it out over the next month, but I definitely would have splayed out a lot of the third hour over the rest of the show. I think that third hour was way too loaded up, and the first 2 hours could have used the Jericho return or the Diva title change. It could have used something.
It was a lot of excitement to pack into 1 hour, but I liked it. I think it was a roller coaster that we don't get very often with Raw. And especially now that we have these 3 hour shows, I mean, you're right. So often these things do drag across 3 hours. I thought, unlike you, I thought the first 2 hours were very watchable with some things that were actually really cool, such as the Jack Swagger bit and a couple other things. But man, that last hour just kicked so much ass.
I think it had a lot going, but for 2 hours, like if you were to take those 2 hours and just look at it like an old school episode of Raw, this night would have probably been a bit of a bomb. I think that third hour really saved the other 2 hours, but that's just me.
Well, let's start inviting some of you out there to give what your thoughts are on tonight's show. I'm going to grab one more out of the chat room here. VixVixVix calling back to the AJ Lee bit, saying, did anyone catch Michael Cole say AJ Lee has her baby back? Definitely a shot at the internet. I almost didn't pick up on that. Good catch. Shout out to everyone else in the chat room. Five Times Combo, Alex Moorhead, Grapple This Production, Slim RJS, and of course Vix, and our own Stephen Huego holding things down for us. Lots of guests still there. Feel free to register. Get yourself involved with the chat room. Two conversations going on at once, and we're going to start opening up the chat the phone lines as well. If you want to dial in, get yourself in line. Call in area code 713-955-0363. That's right. I finally learned that new number. Area code 713-955-0363 is what you want to dial. Get yourself in line. Use your landline. Use your cellular phone, whatever it is you like to use. You can even use Skype. Press a little Skype icon at the top. Get yourself in there. And we're going to open it up to our first caller from the 412 from Pittsburgh, Mr. JD. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys. Happy early 4th of July to you all. How you guys doing tonight?
Happy America Day, bro. What did you think about tonight's show, man? We're all super excited here. Did you enjoy tonight's show? Because you're often a man who's hard to impress.
I'll tell you, it was a good show. I mean, there were some good things tonight, however. I mean, I agree with one of the guys that said earlier, however, if they would have taken the 2 hours, however, it would have been a bomb. But, I mean, obviously, however, the return of AJ was really shocking. I mean, I read it about an hour before the show happened, and I said to myself, no, it can't be. And then when they said a former world champion, however, like 4:30, 5 o'clock this afternoon, you're thinking, maybe it's Brock Lesnar, maybe it's Ric Flair. I mean, no one knew what was going on, however. But for the most part, it was a pretty good show, however. Once again, it just goes to show you that Stephanie and Triple H love to run their little bitchy mouths, however, and say, oh, Daniel Bryan is not going to give him an opportunity to win the World Heavyweight title, blah, blah, blah. And once again, they're obviously kissing the ass of Seth Rollins and Kane's and their little bitch boy, Randy Orton, who, I got to say one thing, I mean, to take that shot he did last night, that steel ladder, and have 12 staples, I mean, hats off to him, as much as I don't like the man at times. I mean, kudos to him, but just that was an unbelievable thing that happened to him last night. But, yeah, tonight's show was pretty interesting. There were some good things about the show that came off. I mean, the whole freaking Bo Dallas thing, I'm getting sick of seeing it every week now more and more. I'm glad for once how Swagger and Coulter did stand up for America and told Boris and Natasha, as in Zeb's words tonight, what he really thought of them. And I'm glad someone set the record finally with that freaking commie and his little whore lawn, if you will, in more ways than one. I mean, the six-man tag was great. The Oso and the Sheamus versus the Wyatts was really good. I mean, there were some good matches tonight. The whole Cameron Naomi thing, I think we could have done without that tonight. But the big question is now, however, what is going to happen with Bad News Barrett, apparently? I mean, they said he has a separated shoulder, obviously, and he could be out for months, however. The question is, how long is months? Is it just maybe a month or two? Is it longer than that? We really don't know at this point. I mean, that really kind of hurts him because right now, he had a big push going, and all of a sudden, it seems like this push has stopped his momentum, if you will.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate curse that seems to happen to a lot of these mid-card intercontinental-level guys, and we saw it happen to, like, Fandango, Dolph Ziggler happened during his world title run, and now it seems like it's going to happen to poor Bad News Barrett. This is the second time where he was arguably the favorite to go into a Money in the Bank and got injured just beforehand, having that carpet pulled out from underneath him, and now he's also lost the Intercontinental title. You have to wonder if he's going to be able to bounce back. I mean, this guy's been around for a long time now. When did he debut? Was it 2009, 2010?
I think it was 9 or 10, yeah, and they finally, I mean, Vince started getting high on him right around WrestleMania or after WrestleMania, said, let's see what we can do with this whole Bad News Barrett thing, let's see how the fans react. And for a while, there were some cheers, however, and there were some boos, but more often cheers, however, and he was getting that somewhat pop power, and all of a sudden, however, this slowed his roll a little bit. Another thing that was kind of dumb tonight, however, I mean, probably the stupidest segment of the night by far was the whole Santino Rosebud thing. I mean, really, do we need to have put that on our show, along with freaking McMahon-Dow against the great Schmally? I mean, that lasted 5 seconds. That was like, it was like watching Diesel and Bob Backlund all over again. That's how bad it was. Getting back to your thought, getting back to what you were saying about AJ and Paige, how you guys were all talking about it a few minutes ago as we were going on the air. I think right now, however, I mean, I don't know what to make of this whole AJ Paige thing. I mean, I'm surprised she came back this quickly. However, I thought they would wait at least until maybe SummerSlam, but I guess because they needed someone to have Paige take on. And you've seen the last few weeks Paige more and more develop on the heel side, and I think they were waiting for the right time to do it. I just think it was a little ballsy that they would go out and do it tonight. I don't know why they did it tonight. However, I mean, it was kind of gutsy that they went out and did it tonight and have AJ come back and do it the way they did. However, I mean, kudos to AJ. I'm glad she's back and everything, but I just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Paige's probably going to throw a shit fit like AJ did the night she lost the title. Say, I want a rematch at Battleground. I want a rematch on SmackDown. I mean, really? Like you said, we've seen the teases already with these two, however, have quick matches. Now let's see them tell a real story, and let's see them develop a pretty good 6-7-8 minute type match like they did last time with Paige and Naomi, you know? Do something like that.
I extremely look forward to that because I know both of these girls are capable of doing it. We've seen them have excellent matches with other people, set the standard of what the division should be for their time there. Now let's see what they can bring together. Not so much Paige as the WWE Divas champion, but while she was NXT Wago champion, kicked ass.
Another thing that Wago said earlier, too, another thing I'm really looking forward to before I get to the high point and low point, I'm definitely looking more and more, is this Ambrose Rollins thing. This thing is really exciting me, too. I mean, I'm glad once again Ambrose, the crazy Terry Funk that he is, and speaking of Terry Funk, a quick plug to him, happy birthday to him. He turns 70 today. God bless him. He just continues to drive Rollins nuts hard. He did it again tonight. Just want to look like Rollins and a little Triple H and his old butt boy Kane, if you will, look like they were going to have the final say. I mean, like I said, I thought when Vince's music came out, we were going to see Vince finally come back. But we knew they were going to be in Hartford. That wasn't going to happen, obviously. And, of course, Sandow dressed up as McMahon and did the McMahonism voices and that. And it was kind of funny and hokey. But, I mean, like I've said for weeks on it, I mean, I know Vince doesn't do much with the company anymore, but they've got to get a decent authority figure to put the authority in their place. I'm tired of seeing the authority every week for 20 minutes, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, main event, whatever, run their mouths and saying the same old thing, oh, Daniel Bryan's a B-plus player. Seth Rollins is our guy. Kane's our guy. Quit sucking up their ass and let them kiss your ass. We're tired of hearing the same bullshit week after week.
Yeah, I think it's all being set up for that eventually. I can deal with it for a little bit longer. I think eventually they need to step themselves back and just, you know, appear when necessary. That's always, in my opinion, the best kind of booker, because all this, I never bought this idea, I mean, like shows not being booked when you go on the air, like making matches on the fly and all that.
They've been doing this for the past year, and I thought around WrestleMania or after WrestleMania this was all going to come to an end, apparently not, so I don't know. I guess
the long-term plan, I would assume, is for Triple H and Stephanie to become the main characters we see on screen, so maybe we just need to start taking our medicine and liking it.
Yeah, but same old bullshit every week. But high point, low point tonight, I would definitely say the Rollins-Van Dam match. I mean, that Van Dam twisting move was, I mean, I don't want to say gut-wrenching, but it just made you cringe a little, and you couldn't tell if Van Dam was really hurt or not. I mean, I would definitely say that was one of the two best moments of the night, but overall, I think the six-man tag was the highlight of the night. The worst match of the night, however, if you want to call it a match, was not, I'm not going to say it was the Funkadactyl-Nikki match. It was the whole stupid Khali freaking McMahonism, McMahon-Dow match. I mean, this is just something they should have just not even put on the show. But overall, it's going to be interesting what the ratings are going to be like with the return of Jericho and AJ. Hopefully, they'll go back to a 3-0. We'll see what happens when they announce them either tomorrow or Wednesday. But right now, I mean, they didn't even announce next week's show in Montreal or anything like that, however. And like I said to you last week, I thought it was this week. I made a mistake. It's next week. But they're already advertising that Bret Hart's supposedly going to be in Montreal as far as Monday night goes next Monday. And I imagine they might have something on SmackDown or main event maybe tomorrow night or this Friday night. We'll have to wait and see. But if not, I imagine they're going to keep it under wraps until probably next Monday before the show starts. And hopefully Bret does something and puts Stephanie and Hunter in their place, at least for one night. He's got to do something. I mean, someone's got to set the record straight with the authority.
No, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have Sandow come out dressed as the Anvil.
Oh, my God. You know, that I could see. That's just scary to think that. I could see that, too. I really could. That'd be too funny. Or, you know, he could come up as Jimmy Hart, though. Have the beard and the sunglasses and the megaphone. That'd be even better.
That would be great, actually.
I could see that, actually. I think, I mean, it's going to be either one of those two. I mean, we'll see something like that. You know that. I mean, they're in Montreal, for God's sake. So anything can happen.
Well, all right, JD. We'll talk to you on the other side of that.
All right, guys. Have a great holiday.
You too, man. Take care. Blow up some fireworks. Enjoy America. Eat hot dogs. All that happy horse shit.
America.
Take care, bro.
I will definitely do it. See you guys.
All right, another fun call from JD, and we invite all you out there to call in as well. Give us your thoughts about Raw and everything going forward. Lots of things happen tonight, so I'm sure y'all have opinions. Area code 713-955-0363, or you could also dial in using Skype like our next caller. Their name is Mobile Sensation. Let's get them in here. Mobile Sensation, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, first of all, Skype is the best way to call in because it's free.
Absolutely. Continue.
Okay. I'm from Barbados.
Oh, Barbados. Nice.
He's from Africa. yes, Barbados. So officially I'm Caribbean cool. So if you're not cool, I might spit in your face.
I'm cool, man. Or at least I want to be cool. So. I have that going for me.
Okay, I'll just keep the apple here just in case, you know, get out of line.
All right, I'm sorry. What was your name again?
Mobile Sensation.
Okay, we'll just go. All right then. So, what did you think about Raw tonight, man? What was your favorite part about it?
You know, that's the thing about Raw. It's hard to pick like a favorite part because, like, I mean, I don't want to sound like a mark, but I just thought the whole show was dead. However, I guess the high was seeing Chris Jericho again. Didn't expect that. Although I didn't like the fact that he squashed The Miz. However, it was just nice to see Jericho because Jericho is one of those few guys that like could pick up the mic and make you just listen. Like he can talk about, you know, like squash or bacon and eggs and make it sound funny.
I would totally listen to Jericho talk about that. I mean, that guy is a modern renaissance man. He's done everything from Dancing with the Stars to being a rock star. Now he's back to wrestling again. Some people complain that he's one of those part-timers, but I never minded Jericho coming back in now because at least I know when he's away, he's doing something that he's really passionate about and doing it well. And then when he is back, he's always doing something awesome. Poor Miz. I do agree Miz got a little overshadowed in this segment. He deserves a little bit better, but we'll see how he gets treated in the coming weeks. Maybe he'll try to get some kind of redemption on Jericho, and then Jericho's going to have both Miz and Wyatt coming at him from both sides. What else did you like from tonight?
I don't think Chris Jericho is really studying The Miz. He got his ass whooped by the Wyatt family.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And in the end, the Wyatt family definitely
is out of Chris Jericho's picture.
Well, the question is, what do you think Miz is going to end up doing in the future then if Jericho is going to be tied to the Wyatts? What is Miz going to look to do now that he's back and he's Hollywood Miz?
I think Miz is going to continue what he started this week. He's going to come out next week and continue where he left off. You know. And then someone else is going to interrupt him. And then he probably get his ass whooped again.
So just to continue of him coming out and baiting the fans with his soft little creepy voice and people coming out and kicking his ass.
Yes, he's going to be the new Damian Sandow.
Oh gosh, as if we don't have enough of those. We already got Damian Sandow. Now Adam Rose is becoming Damian Sandow.
They had to do that because they fired basically all the jobbers, so they had to make new ones.
Oh. See, this is the problem. They have not been spending the last few years creating new jobbers, so now they got to take old stars and make them jobbers to fill in those ranks. Makes total sense.
Exactly. You better be careful because you might be jobbing next.
Oh, gosh. So. Well, at least I would have a job.
but then I'll have to spit in your face.
Oh, no.
And that would be cool, right?
No. Well, what'd you think about the returning AJ Lee? Was that something that tickled your fancy?
I like AJ. I always like AJ. She's one of the few divas that I like. I did not like the whole, like, switcheroo thing, though. It was kind of like, you know, I think it was cheap writing. You know, because first Paige was like, I'm not going to do it. Then she's like, well, I guess I'll do it. So you're kind of thinking she started off as a heel. Then she turned into, like, a tweener. And then now she's going back to the heel. It was like, if they didn't really know what was going on or what they wanted to do. But it was nice to see AJ Lee. I just think they kind of forced the title back on her. It was like, well, thanks, Paige, for holding the title, but, we don't need you anymore. Typical Vincent man.
So I think you said your high point was the Jericho return, but if it wasn't that, what was it? And then what was your low point for the night?
Well, the high point, if Seth Rollins was successful in cashing in the Money in the Bank, that would have definitely been a high point. Because I don't care if it was Bo Dallas, anybody cashing in the Money in the Bank on John Cena, I would have been happy.
And what was your least
Stephanie
favorite?
McMahon could have cashed in. Stephanie McMahon could have beat him for the world title, and I was still, I'll be happy.
What was your least favorite?
The least favorite, you know, I always take these squash matches, like who was it? Damian Sandow squashing and then Cesaro just whooping Kofi Kingston's ass. Like that guy is never gonna. That guy like hit the glass ceiling. You know, he was there for so long, and he hasn't even reached the main event level yet. He beats Randy Orton on many occasions. And every time he beats him, like, the crowd goes wild. And then, like, the next week he's jobbing to, like, I don't know, the Wyatt family or something.
It's funny that he only beats Randy Orton. Whenever he actually gets a big win, it's always Randy Orton.
He's like, Randy Orton is the only guy that, like likes him in the company. It's like, I'm going to let you get a win over me. No one else is going to, but I'll let you get the win. A clean win, too. You know, it's okay. You know, John Cena's... No, you know, I'm never going to pass the torch. I'm going to die first before I ever pass the torch to anybody. No. The guy, like, refuses to pass the torch.
All right, Mobile Sensation, it's a fun call, man. Definitely call again any other time.
No problem.
Have a good night, bro. All right. Another caller here on the NPR Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. If you want to get yourself in line to call, dial in area code 713-955-0363 or be like our last caller and use the Skype line at the top of the page. Chat room is also rolling nicely. Five times combo. Alex Moorhead, who's currently typing, I see you. Grapple This Productions, Vix, and Mr. Carter.
Mr. Carter.
Oh my goodness. Well, next, I would have to say my next favorite show going on, next favorite segment that happened on the show going down rank would have to be the Jack Swagger face turn. Woo. Yes, this actually happened. This isn't just some kind of joke we're putting here. They actually had a segment. Rusev came out doing his usual Rusev shtick. That's hard to say. Rusev shtick. And who should interrupt him but the real American Jack Swagger coming to the defense of the good old USA. Crowd goes absolutely bananas. They are 100% behind it. They're cheering him on, chanting, "Let's go, Swagger." And when Zeb Coulter does his "We the People," I've never heard so much force go behind it when they say, oh my God, the crowd embraced this. And that's what made this that much more fun. I dig this, and I think it's almost a shame that this might only be for like a month until Battleground, so Swagger could just be a little bit more credible of an opponent for Rusev to take down. I hope this is something that they can continue to carry out there. I don't think Jack Swagger is the biggest star in the world, but I always think he has a lot more than people typically give him credit for, and this may finally be the combination that he needs to get himself into a cemented spot. But we'll go around and ask you guys about it. Miguel, are you buying the Jack Swagger face turn?
Yeah, I'm definitely buying it. To me, it just proves what I've been saying before, that I think Rusev is a lot more over than people give him credit, because, you know, last time they had that big pop in the ring with him and Reigns, people were like, oh, it's just Reigns. You know, people like Reigns, they don't like Rusev. But when you can get somebody to pop that huge over a Jack Swagger face turn, you know you've got credibility as a heel. And I really do think Rusev is starting to really get that credibility. In terms of this actual feud, this is going to be – it's very old school. It reminds me of an old school, like, 80s era USA-type feud. Like, I can see this being, like, Jim Duggan against – I don't know, what type of heel could they have done back then? Sheik, maybe, or something like that?
Sure. Ivan Putski.
Sure, we'll go with that.
No. Tony, you tend to be a little bit more critical on Rusev and even Jack Swagger. Did they win you with this segment?
Rusev didn't. I'm still going to disagree and say that Rusev is not over. I think that just people... All right, well, let me just say that maybe this is just me. Maybe I'm looking at it through biased eyes. I loved this segment, and it had nothing to do with Rusev, nothing to do with Lana. If Rusev and Lana would have done exactly what they did and the person that came out would have been Justin Gabriel or some other fucking jobber, this would have been easily my bad, if not my ugly, of the week. But Jack Swagger coming out and turning babyface is something that has never happened, I think, in WWE. I think he's been a heel since he's been there the entire time, if I'm remembering correctly. And yeah, everybody has loved doing this We the People thing, and Zeb Coulter has been entertaining as hell. And Jack Swagger's kind of fallen off a little bit. I mean, he had a good thing going with Cesaro, and they dropped the ball with that. He had a good thing going with Del Rio, and they weren't able to actually accomplish that. And that was a year ago. So this is something different, and it's something that gets the fans a chance to actually get behind something that they've been struggling to get behind because they're not supposed to. So I think that's the reason why this is, like, so over. And people like doing the USA chant because, you know, USA, America. But I think that this is fantastic. If there's anything that Rusev has done in his career in WWE that I've been excited for, it's been this right now. And I'm not the hugest Jack Swagger fan. I don't think that Rusev's that impressive in the ring, but this feud has some potential, and this is fucking awesome.
You just don't like potatoes is all.
Potato.
I'm a little bit more, you know, like rice, pasta.
Man prefers a different kind of side dish.
Yeah. I like my breads and my starches and everything else different.
I'm trying to say what Alex Moorhead say. Alex Moorhead, I'm not sure what the context of this, but he says, yes, he is. This is why Tony is losing in your fantasy league.
Oh, the Rusev being over, yeah.
Hey, I won last year.
Touche.
It's touche.
Five times combo saying he really hates Lana's voice. Why don't we take it to Wago? Do you think Rusev is over? Did he have anything to do with the segment being as good as it was, or is it all on Swagger and Coulter?
It's all on We the People being fun as hell to chant, and now they finally have a reason to fucking do it. Plus, in addition to that, the crowd tonight was really good. And if anything, it was Zeb Coulter that helped this. He's just a fucking great talker, and whether you're meant to boo him or cheer him, everyone likes to get involved with Zeb. He's just fun. I'm not going to give Rusev that much credit, and I'm not going to give Lana that much credit. I still think it's fucking Kozlov with a better moveset.
Well, at least he has a better moveset. Drew,
did you? Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. This was a segment, when I say the least. Okay, I'll stop with that stuff. I think it's getting old. But anyways, I really enjoyed it. I think we've all touched on the main points. So We the People, over face turn, baby face turn, Swagger standing there probably high out of his mind, Zeb Coulter not playing with his mustache for once, saying words. Lana's like,
I noticed Zeb Coulter hasn't been putting the wax into his mustache the last couple weeks. What's up with that?
I don't know. Maybe that was to go along with the face turn. You're not supposed to look like a cartoon villain.
Well, I know they got rid of baby oil. Maybe they can't use
mustache wax either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was a thing, and I actually I really enjoyed it. I've always kind of supported Swagger. You know, I supported him when they looked like they were going to give him the championship last year, but he screwed that up. And, you know, maybe this is like his last hoorah, you know, as long as he doesn't fuck it up. So hopefully he doesn't fuck this one up, because I think – I don't know how over he'll get as a babyface by himself, but as long as he has Coulter with him and Dave, he does a face American thing, I don't know how he's going to do it, then it should be good.
All right. Well, let me ask you guys just a general question. How far can they go with Jack Swagger with this?
U.S. champion. I get it, because America –
Well, Sheamus is having some type of open challenge on SmackDown this Friday, some kind of open American challenge. So who knows? Maybe Jack Swagger will answer the call.
If he beats Sheamus, he'll be a heel. They got to keep Swagger away from the other faces and have him be the dominant face in this whole program, because if they put him against a Sheamus, he's going to get drowned out.
You really think people are that behind Sheamus? They're going to get butthurt that he loses?
Not so much that the people are, but WWE is, and they're going to choose to put Sheamus over Swagger. I really do see that. Sheamus is kind of their golden boy in the main event, you know. Above anything else, they'll put Sheamus over, you know, hard as their, like, number, I would say, three or four babyface. I think for the good of Swagger, he needs to stay clear of that. If anything, they could put the IC belt on him because that's up for grabs.
Why not just give it to Rusev? Have Rusev enter this tournament or whatever the hell that Sheamus is going to do. He wins the title. Jack Swagger comes and starts the U.S. title feud.
Mm-hmm. Now, that I'd be okay with.
As far as how long they can run with Jack Swagger right now, I think it's only got a couple months life in it. As soon as he doesn't have someone that is an American to feud with, then there's not much else he can really do with this momentum.
They have a lot of foreigners, man. I mean, yeah. Jim Coulter still has a lot of names on that list.
Do they have a lot of heel foreigners?
No, all foreigners are heels.
Well, no, there's that. And that's one. And two, it's We the People. They're going to chant it now that he's faced for sure. Something that could get him over.
I don't know. I just don't see it having much legs. I think he's going to fizzle out pretty quickly.
Hopefully he doesn't, though.
I'll give it 2 months.
So SummerSlam, do you think he'll make it past that?
No. So
after SummerSlam, he'll die.
Okay. Oh, that sucks.
Well, you heard it here.
Tribute show for Swagger. Damn.
Scoopscoops.com reports Jack Swagger dies at SummerSlam.
How many points do you lose in the Fantasy League if that happens?
If he actually dies.
Well, is that a vacancy thing? Or?
I think we're going to move along on to this. Why don't we just go chronologically this show now? Our first segment had Triple H and Stephanie calling out John Cena to show him that he is the new cover boy for the 2K15 video game. And I got to say, I kind of dig it. What'd you guys think about our new 2K15 cover?
It looked good. I liked it. It was spectacular.
It had John Cena on the front. Sucked.
It's better than the one from 2009 that just had Triple H and Shawn Michaels on it.
I don't get why you only have one person on there. WWE is about having multiple fucking characters that you can get invested in if you don't like someone, so why not do that with a cover?
Didn't, like, SmackDown Shut Your Mouth have, like, 6 or 7 people on its cover?
I don't know. I don't remember that far back.
I like that game. That was probably my favorite of the old SmackDown games.
What they would usually do is they would have, like, one big star, but then they would have a bunch of, like, little smaller things in the background of that person. And now they're not even doing that. It's usually just one guy with, like, a generic production background they just put behind him.
Well, hopefully they do what they did for the last year's title, where there's a fan creation for a contest and you can flip your cover out, and like last year it was Daniel Bryan instead of the Rock on the back of it if he flipped it over, so hopefully they do that.
I've already been seeing some excellent Photoshop recreations. I think my favorite is the one that has Squidward come up to it and just put the Squidward nose on it. It's there. Now it's art. I don't know, but Cena gets told that he is going to be in a Fatal 4-Way at Battleground featuring himself, Randy Orton, Demon Kane, and Roman Reigns. And if for any reason that Cena does manage to survive that match, there's always a plan B, and out comes Seth Rollins. So that's the story they're telling with that. Seth Rollins comes out for a pretty good match with Rob Van Dam. I gotta say, I should expect it because they're both crazy stars who have lots of high spots, but I wouldn't have expected them to tell a match that has a good back and forth. You know, I'd expect it to have to be carried by other people. You know, these are two guys you would put in a Money in the Bank and have them have flashy moves against each other, but hell, they had an excellent match, and once again, the crowd was super hot throughout the whole thing, and it made it that much more enjoyable. Wago, you're a resident RVD fan. I'm sure you love this match.
Yeah, except the fucker lost. Costing me points again, but yeah, it was a fun match, and these two have got some good chemistry together, and unfortunately, they can't do it again. We've already seen it twice, so I've had my fill after tonight.
Of Rob Van Dam?
Of this combination.
Of Seth Rollins and Rob Van Dam?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't need to see me. I'm pretty getting over Seth Rollins versus anybody. I just see Drew's even yawning about the idea of Seth Rollins versus anybody.
Miguel's probably asleep already.
Miguel, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Seth Rollins versus RVD, what'd you think?
I know this is probably going to be a bit timely, but I woke up late, so I missed the first half hour of Raw.
Well, it's good. You got your nap in before rather than after. So.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, guys, I work nights, so I'm used to sleeping during the day. So by the time I got up, it was like 8:30 over here, so I missed the first half hour. But I did see the Cena box cover thing. I saw the picture, at least. I by the time I got up, it was I had just seen the ending of the matchup, so I saw the promo after it.
Tony, you're our critique of these things. Break this match down on a scale of 1 to 10. How was it?
All right, I'm not getting one.
You're an asshole.
Quick little note. I'm still kind of smiling at the Demon Kane comment. We were joking around the other day about that. What was the thing that was capitalizing?
I got a text. One of those fucking texts that WWE sends you out whenever anything happens, and it was something about how Kane was having a match on SmackDown, and it specifically noted his name was Demon Kane with the D capitalized. So right. Now that's the proper noun of his name, Demon right. Kane. So
it's his first name. Like, his last name's been Kane this whole time, which must mean that Undertaker is Undertaker Kane. It's Undertaker Kane and Demon Kane are the two brothers. As far as Seth Rollins goes, though, I've always said about my RVD stuff, but I actually think that they have good enough chemistry that I like this match, and I'm not tired of Seth Rollins yet. I think that Seth Rollins has actually been doing better work lately, and I'm more of a fan than I've been in the past couple of months. Even when I really, really liked the Shield as a babyface unit, I still was like, meh, Rollins is kind of like the weak link of the team and all that. But I buy him being Money in the Bank right now. Mr. Money in the Bank, not being Money in the Bank. He's not the briefcase itself. Maybe he lives in the briefcase, though. It's better than a little cardboard box. But I like where they're going with this. I think that I believe more in him than I have in the past. I think he's got a lot of potential in the future. And I like seeing him face off against people that can be worth something. I was going to say worth a damn, but that sounds like I was going for a pun of RVD. But actually be able to lose and make somebody look better. If it was him against, you know, the Heath Slaters and stuff, then I wouldn't care, which is kind of why I don't give a shit about the Rusev stuff. But Rollins is doing great work. I think he's going to be doing even better work coming up in the future. And if that means RVD has to lose some more matches, I'm enjoying them. So, good.
Well, pay attention to Smack Talk this week for our full analysis of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, including that Money in the Bank briefcase match. But a little bit of spoiler for that. I'm just going to tell y'all, I think Seth Rollins is the worst Money in the Bank briefcase holder ever.
Ah, damn. I was waiting till Friday to hear that one.
Oh, God. Way to Rudy, you fucking asshole.
Now I want to do a show. Shit.
Well, there goes the Ask Him. Who does Payton think is the worst Money in the Bank?
Oh, my God, Payton. Jesus Christ.
Worse than Jack Swagger? Really?
Absolutely.
Worse than Sandow? Worse than Edge? Oh, my gosh. Even Kennedy?
Wait. Oh. Edge is awesome.
Yeah.
But you'll have to tune in this Friday to find out.
Yeah.
Find out
how awesome he is. Even, oh, never mind.
Oh, Drew, I saved you to last again. I apologize. We got anything you want to add to this?
Alex already said this was a match in the chat, so I don't have to say that. Alex is just going to be in charge of that from now on. You know, essentially, this was the first match that led to a bunch of good matches tonight, and I think that's what made this Raw better than a lot. Almost everything was enjoyable. The only match that really sucked was maybe the Bellas and McMahon Dow thing, but yeah, this was the beginning of what would be a good night of Raw.
After that match, Renee Young goes for an interview with Seth, but Dean Ambrose interrupts and saying that anytime that Seth Rollins goes to cash in that Money in the Bank, Dean Ambrose would be there. And we touched on this a little bit, but I want to say I am definitely digging that story. If they have to put that Money in the Bank on Seth, this is an awesome way to do it. Have someone who's always going to be on his tail every single time that he tries to cash it in. I would have absolutely loved it, actually, if when he went to cash it in this evening, that it actually went through, and then Dean Ambrose came out, and then that was it. That was the end of the briefcase. I would have been totally okay with that. You know what? Why don't we just go ahead and bring into our main event Roman Reigns and John Cena teaming up against Randy Orton and Demon Kane, our four participants in the Fatal 4-Way at Battleground. Triple H is our guest on commentary. I didn't even notice him there. I don't think I heard a single word he said the entire time. Kane ends up attacking Cena until there's a disqualification in the match and ends up laying John Cena out with, what, two or three tombstone pile drivers. Triple H calls down Seth Rollins with a Money in the Bank briefcase. However, the referee is an idiot, takes too long to ring the bell, so you can bet he's probably one of the next referees to get fired. Ambrose comes down and attacks Wallins out of the arena, if you believe what Michael Cole said about 10 times. Kept calling him Seth Wallins. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He must have gotten some Novocaine during the last segment. Kane goes to attack John Cena. Roman Reigns comes out for the save, and that's how we go off the air at the end of the show. Again, like I said, I like what they're doing with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, telling the story where he's always going to interrupt him. Would have been totally fine, though, if it actually went through. And again, Seth Rollins becomes another unsuccessful Money in the Bank cash-in person. We'll go around and get your guys' thoughts about how all that played out. Wago, what about you, man?
I couldn't really care about this match. I had a hard time getting into it. And I don't know if it's just when you get to that final hour, you just get tired out, or if it was just not that good of a match. As far as the whole storyline goes, as I mentioned before, I love this whole Dean's going to fuck over Seth's chances every chance that he gets. It's something different. It's something we haven't done before. And it adds a bit more substance to this feud other than, hey, you hit me with a chair. So I'm looking forward to it because these guys can both, like, really go in the ring, so their matches are going to be awesome. And hopefully the Money in the Bank is going to be on the line, and maybe the briefcase gets transferred over to Dean at some point. So overall, couldn't give a crap about the match, loving the storyline, and I like that they're teasing Roman Reigns versus Triple H with how they went off air tonight.
Yeah, indeed, because there was those reports going out saying that our SummerSlam match might be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton, and I don't like that anywhere near as much as Roman Reigns and Triple H, so I'm happy that that was what was being teased there. Drew, why don't we get you in nice and early on this one?
Ooh. Oh, man, my notes. I wasn't ready yet, but I guess I'll go. I liked it. It was good. The match was good. The segment after the match was pretty good. I like what they're doing with Dean and Seth Rollins. Apparently, they've been listening to Smack Talk in the Diva segment for my antic. But anyways, it was I liked it. You know, it makes it interesting. Hopefully, they do something along the lines of he tries to cash it in each week. Can't do it because Ambrose is always there being a dick, essentially. He's been a cock blocker. He's a cash-in blocker now. So, yeah, that's the thing. That just happened. And now I'm done. Okay.
Miguel, goodbye. How long do you think you can take this same story being played out there, and do you think Seth Rollins will eventually be able to outsmart Dean Ambrose?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of Dean Ambrose now. Something about his promos, just he knows how to bring you in, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know these guys can really go in the ring, so however long they can keep this going, I'm perfectly fine with it. In terms of the actual main event itself that we've been watching, I wasn't into the match just because I'm fatigued with seeing these guys in the main event every single episode of Raw, it seems. So I was just kind of waiting towards the end, and I figured they weren't going to do the cash in because they already announced the Battleground main event. So I figure, okay, unless they, I don't see them changing that. So I figured there's going to be some type of schmoz. I do have to point out that last shot of Triple H staring down Reigns, I think this is going to be a huge matchup for SummerSlam. And I hope that that's the case going into SummerSlam, that we see Triple H versus Reigns, because that's a matchup, obviously, that the fans really want to see.
Tony, is that a match you want to see?
Not as much as earlier in the year, but I tell you what, if we get Orton instead of Triple H, that's no comparison. It's got to be Triple H. And that has a lot of potential to be a really good match on top of that. The build is going to all depend on what they do in the meantime, because just saying those two names together isn't the same as if you were to say to me, you know, Shawn Michaels is coming back and he's going to face The Rock or something like that. The names alone aren't selling the match, but it has a lot of potential. This match, by the way, that we had for the main event, did not watch more than 45 seconds of it. I figured, screw it, it's not going to matter. The ending of the Raw is going to be the thing that actually is something I have to pay attention to. I got shit to do. I'm going to start doing all that. So I spent the whole time working on stuff. But
that seems to be the MO like with pretty much every Raw main event, and that's kind of sad.
It is.
The main event is almost the least important part of the show anymore.
It should be the selling point that makes you go, well, I finally waited until this, and now it's going to be the best thing, and I can't wait to see what happens next week. And I popped more for Jack Swagger turning face than this kind of a thing. But
one thing Sorry.
Well, part of it's because it's another tag match, and we're used to this rhythm of the people get thrown into tag matches before the pay-per-views, and you know that nothing really big is going to happen until the end of each match. It's not like midway through John Cena is going to turn heel or something. Like, so the segment itself, meh. The Tombstone, I actually didn't even see that he did a couple of them. I thought he only did one. And I was like, shit, they're really selling this one Tombstone, aren't they? One fucking Tombstone, and Cena's like, you know, completely out of it. But I did think it was funny that Triple H was yelling at the ref. He said something like, "You're an idiot, Connor," or something. Like, just see this like sad ref meme coming out of that. But segment, meh. Dean Ambrose thing, fucking loving that. I am really excited about what they're going to do with this, with stopping the Money in the Bank cash-ins and all that. It could get old, and they obviously can't do that for an entire year because these two aren't going to feud for a whole year. But it's something different. It's cool. I'm really into that.
Miguel, you had something you wanted to say before?
Like I said, going back to the comments I made, I think the big problem with these main events is it's usually the same four or five guys just kind of cycled through. I think that's where a lot of people just get tired of it. Like, going back to when the Shield Evolution feud was going on, it seemed like every week we just had one member of the Shield versus one member of Evolution, or two members of the Shield versus two members of Evolution. And, I mean, there's just – when you've got a week-to-week show – and you're trying to build stuff up, you kind of burn people out on it. And I think that's one of the reasons why these main events just feel so fatiguing.
That's not a bad analysis. Wago, you had something you wanted to add as well?
One thing I'm hoping they're not going to do here is, throughout the whole, I think it was last year, Triple H would tease constantly having matches with a variety of different opponents, be it Big Show or John Cena or whoever, and then we never got it. And we finally got the Daniel Bryan one, and I think that's only because Punk got injured. So I'm hoping they're not just teasing it for the sake of teasing it.
Well, Triple H might need a match coming up at SummerSlam. I mean, it depends if he feels like lacing up for it. That is one of the big pay-per-views of the year, at least they try to say it is. At this point, let's just throw this out there. Is Money in the Bank above SummerSlam at this point?
No. Because Birth Masters isn't there.
They wouldn't. They market it as SummerSlam's the bigger deal, but I always find there's more buzz around Money in the Bank just because of the fallout of it.
You know, I didn't know it was the June pay-per-view was Money in the Bank until like 2 weeks before the actual show. I didn't know that this year. The more you know. Shooting star.
You know what I would kind of compare it to? A lot of people go back and forth between whether or not the Royal Rumble is bigger than WrestleMania overall. I mean, obviously WrestleMania is the show, but I've heard a lot of people make arguments that WrestleMania wouldn't be anywhere near as good if the Royal Rumble didn't set it up. And I think that that's kind of a way to bring out Money in the Bank and SummerSlam.
I think they tried to make SummerSlam the big media event that WrestleMania is. I remember the first time they started doing that, and they spent all their ad revenue talking about like all the celebrities that are there and where it's going to be at. It's in LA, it's Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like they've slowly but surely gotten bored of that concept, which is why I think there is that argument about it. In terms of the actual event, it hasn't mattered for a while, and that really is due to the fact that they really haven't made SummerSlam matches really mean anything going forward. I mean, it's not like the old school where they would get like 3 or 4 months to build up a matchup for SummerSlam, or even in the case of WrestleMania where they have the whole, you know, beginning of the year to build that up. They just kind of build it up within the beginning of the month, and it's a regular pay-per-view.
What was it last summer? We had CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. Was that the match on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that match.
Yeah, they had the title match?
Brian and Cena. And then Brian and Orton.
Oh. Actually, that was pretty cool. I got to give him credit for that. That was a cool ordeal.
Yeah, but that's just the exception. That's not – I wouldn't consider that the
rule. Ooh, I remember a match. Mango, you'll like it. Del Rio versus Christian. That was a match, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, that was like match of the night. What are you talking about?
Yes, you're right. You're right, Drew. That was a match.
That was the match.
That's the best thing we could say about it.
No. We also had Kane and Wyatt in a Ring of Fire match. Ooh, that was a match, wasn't it? Ooh, yeah. Taka knew it was a match. That's what
was fucking time co earlier.
We had a 6-man tag with the Usos teaming up with Sheamus to go against all three members of the Wyatt family. I honestly didn't get as high in this match as I see a lot of other people getting. People were saying it was a fantastic, one of the matches of the night, and I just thought it was fine. Luke Harper gets the victory after his discus clothesline, I believe they're calling it. The Wyatt family got a new entrance last night, which they did their full family entrance tonight. But last night, Harper and Rowan got some new music. They did this cool thing where they both walk side by side from the camera, and I'm digging that, and that gives me a lot more optimism about the future of Harper and Rowan as a tag team. And once again, I think Harper was the strongest looking member of the whole family in this matchup and is the person I most look forward to watching the career. Not Bray, certainly not Eric Rowan, though Eric Rowan has won me more over the last couple of nights. He's not as worthless as I thought he was. Funny how that's been working out with people. Seth Rollins first and then now Eric Rowan. What if Eric Rowan ends up being the breakout star and ends up winning Money in the Bank next year? Goodness.
That would be a thing.
Miguel, did you catch this match?
Which matchup was it? I know which one you're talking about. I think I was in the restroom at the time. Oh. Honestly, I think we've seen this matchup before on SmackDown, which is why I just didn't pay attention to it.
Oh, so you watch SmackDown?
From time to time.
That's a shame.
I can at least catch the first hour of it.
I wouldn't be surprised. They often repeat matches between Raw and SmackDown. Wago, what'd you think about it?
It was a solid match, nothing special. That's all I gotta say.
Drew?
Let's see. Luke Harper is a fucking stud. He has some good. His leg is up there when he does the super kicks. I think he has a very good future out of all of them.
Tony?
Yeah, there's really not much to talk about in this. It was fine.
Bo Dallas comes out, has a moment of silence for the Fallen Warriors, Daniel Bryan and Bad News Barrett, and this went on and on. It was great. The crowd was like just getting hotter and hotter and hotter as it was going on for, I think it was probably about a good 2 minutes. Bo Dallas, once again, being the excellent character that he is, didn't have a match tonight. It was just that, but well worth it. Anything anybody want to add to that?
This was fucking stupid.
No, it's...
Why? Why do you think it was stupid?
I get what they was going for, just to hold on to be obnoxious. It was fucking boring.
You know, I think what helped me...
No, Bo's ring was in front of him. He was on the stage. It was Bo's stage.
Ah, fuck, I forgot the commentator did that. I set myself up for that, didn't I?
I thought this was great.
Great.
I fucking loved it.
Thank you.
Like, he's sitting there eating up all of that time, and he's not doing a damn thing. And the commentators did a good job selling it, too, of just, like, what's going on in the fucking JBL. Like, shit. Hold on, like.
Especially JBL.
See, this is the reason why we like Bo, is because it's fucking stupid to the point it's something we'd come up with in general conversation.
I actually tried to do a sketch like this when we were doing a sketch comedy show. It would have been the best video ever, and it would have just been 10 minutes of us sitting down and not saying a damn word. So this is exactly my type of humor. I thought this is fucking hilarious. Bo Dallas is fucking awesome.
Yeah. What wasn't as awesome is we had a handicap match, Nikki Bella against the Funkadactyls. I missed what happened here. I guess like Cameron had Nikki Bella set up for a pin, but Naomi tagged herself in and took the pin from her, causing the Funkadactyls to argue. And this was where the official split up, I guess we could say, between the Funkadactyls happened, or at least they got in each other's face. And I would assume that there's a match between the two of them imminent. I believe it was Drew who said it earlier. There is just so much going on in the Divas division right now, not just for what's going on for the title, which is right now consisting of Paige and AJ Lee, but then you also have Summer Rae and Layla doing whatever the crap they're doing. Now you got the Funkadactyls having their arguments between each other. I don't care. Remember the last time there was this much going on in the Divas division. Unfortunately, I still don't care about much of it.
Yeah, it's not good stuff. The stuff they do show, it's not really good, and no one cares about it, though.
Yeah. I don't know, anything you guys want to add to this breakup we're having here? Are anybody here looking forward to this match?
It will not be the bomb.com. I promise you that much.
Yeah, what was that? I didn't understand
it's,
that at all.
If you watch Total Divas, Cameron, whatever the hell her name is, she usually says thebomb.com, like, a lot.
That's awful.
It's females, and it's...
I just hope the URL links to a porn site or something.
No, I don't think it does. I think it's just like one of those fake websites or something like that.
At least her saying thebomb.com is better than when she does that girl buy thing, because that's fucking stupid as well.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. It was just
churching. What the fuck's going on?
I was just churching. Go ahead, Miguel.
No, I was just gonna say I know I drafted Cameron to my team, but I don't know about this whole thing anymore. I might have to shake things up a bit, especially with all the new people coming in.
No. You're just fine the way you are, Miguel.
I think we're gonna have some crazy things going down with the fantasy league throughout this week. What the hell else happened on the show? Oh my goodness,
McMandow.
Not quite yet. Oh. I think this is something else we should have talked about earlier. Actually, our favorite superstar vacant. After losing the World Heavyweight title last night, rebounded and became Intercontinental Champion tonight after Wade Barrett was stripped due to the injuries that he sustained on SmackDown when being thrown into a barricade by Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger threw him into the barricade.
Bacon was the real WWE Champion returning tonight.
Absolutely. But Intercontinental title up for grabs, and it's going to be decided in a battle royal at Battleground. So we've learned a number of our matches for Battleground, which is rare that we learned a number of these matches so far before a pay-per-view. Usually they wait until 2 weeks before. But big news for that. Bad news, Barrett was really trucking along, getting a lot of momentum about it. Seems like they were setting up for a big babyface turn. It had to have been the favorite going into that Money in the Bank briefcase match, and it's all crumbled out beneath him very, very quickly. Is he going to be able to rebound, though? Tony, do you think he's going to be able to do it, or is this pretty much going to spell the end for the story of Wade Barrett?
I think it all depends on what WWE is willing to do, because there's one good thing that happens with the Wade Barrett character right now that they might overlook, and if they overlook it, they fuck him over. If they don't, he's got a chance, and that's he can still do this character if he can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
He spent so many months doing it and building up this kind of a reputation and didn't have like a single match. So if he's out with a shoulder injury, it sucks because he can't, you know, stick it in the ring, fight some people, get some feuds going like that. But there's nothing that says that he can't come out there and cut a promo. And it's not the same as like Naomi's eye injury where she was told that she can't fly, so she was really stuck at home the entire time. It's not a leg injury where he can't walk out. None of that stuff. You put him in a sling, you give him a microphone, he could still be Bad News Barrett. So it all depends on how much effort they want to put into it. And if they can keep the momentum going and maybe turn him into a babyface because of that, that's the key to the whole thing.
What do you think, Drew? Do you agree to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. I was just saying yes. I forgot what the question. Yes, I do think Wade Barrett, I hope they do something with him. Except, you know, this is like his fifth time he's been injured, and he's going to take a lot of time off. I don't know how long. They said it was a separated shoulder, right? How long does that usually take to heal? Is there a medical doctor?
It depends on what you do. I mean, it depends if you tear ligaments, if you rip muscles. I mean, it could take a long, and everyone's body heals differently. They said he's going to be out for a number of months, so it's pretty ambiguous how long he's going to be out.
Yeah. As much as I hope he's not buried, but, you know, I just don't know at this point. I think he might be fucked. I think after this point, it's kind of like some of the other characters they've had who's gotten injured so much. They want to do something with him, but they're too afraid to. I bet by now because of just injury concerns. Not his fault, but, you know, hey. You know, sometimes you're a little fragile. Hopefully, even if he can't wrestle now, hopefully he still does a Bad News Barrett character for the next couple months, like Mango said. But I just really hope they don't fuck this up.
Miguel, who do you expect to succeed Wade Barrett as the Intercontinental Champion?
Well, Vacant right now.
Yeah, quick question. Are we allowed to draft Vacant?
No.
All right, I just figured I'd ask. But in terms of who can take his spot, I would probably honestly put The Miz in there. If they have nowhere else to put The Miz in and he was just brought in to be the catalyst to bring in Chris Jericho, you could slot him in and have him win the title and just kind of hold on to it. It gives him something to do because, honestly, I don't know where else they could put The Miz in terms of storylines. If they're going with the Wyatt versus Jericho feud that it seems like they're building up towards. In terms of what you guys have been talking about with Bad News Barrett, I think this is it. WWE does not normally give second or third chances, and this guy's already been pushed twice and fallen under due to injury.
I think it's going to be – I think he's going to get the Ahmed Johnson treatment. He's just going to kind of falter, and he's probably just going to be a mid-carder for a while. I would be surprised if they kept any sort of momentum on him going forward.
Wago, wrap us up on this.
I think he'll be fine in the long run. I think the best thing to do is don't keep the gimmick on TV. Have him come back with a big face turn so he can get that Road Warrior pop, and he'll be all set to go.
Oh, goodness. We had a match between Cesaro and Kofi Kingston. A couple notable things in this matchup. Cesaro refusing to do the Cesaro swing. Really the first sign of him acting like a heel I think we've seen. So that's kind of neat. Wildest thing out of this, though, this match ends during a commercial break. And of all the ways for it to end, Kofi Kingston gets a pinfall victory with a roll-up of all things. Freaking roll-up. But the match ended during a commercial break. What is this, WCW? When we finally come back from commercial, we're already in the midst of Cesaro beating the shit out of Kofi for not being happy about that loss. And I don't really know what the point of this segment was. Just to make Cesaro look like a sore loser? Or is this going to be actually the program that we have Cesaro going forward? Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston? Because I don't really care about that.
It was just to make it look like Kofi had a shot at winning the title. I think that's about it.
Wago, what do you think the point of this segment was?
I have no idea. I thought it was really fucking dumb. They've got 3 hours of television. Actually, 3 hours and 15, since they over fucking run all the time. And they can't give us the finish of a goddamn match. This was fucking embarrassing. Drew hit the nail on the head. The only thing I can think is they're teasing that Kofi might stand a chance. And Jesus Christ, is there a fucking hurricane going on right now?
I think someone has an AC on. Might want to turn that down a little bit. Yep, there we go. Now it's gone. Fuck. I don't remember who the hell I was just talking to. What were we talking about? We're talking about Cesaro and Kofi Kingston. Does anyone have anything they want to add about this stupid match?
I do. Well, go ahead. I actually am in favor of what they did.
Okay.
And there's one main reason. Why the fuck not every once in a while? The WWE app is so pointless, and you never see anything on it that matters. Is this one match going to be something that's like, oh, I'm quitting watching wrestling forever because I didn't see the end of, you know, Kofi roll up Cesaro? It doesn't matter. It's not a title change. It's not a heel turn or anything like that. It's Kofi getting a roll up. If Kofi would have gotten a roll up and that would have been on the air, nobody would have given a shit. So why not do it on the app? Make the app people think that they're actually getting something out of doing that. And it's just kind of the same mentality as when you have, like, a fake title change happen at a house show. And then people go, well, maybe I should go to those house shows because something can happen every once in a while. Otherwise, we're going to fall into the same thing as SmackDown territory. Nothing happens on SmackDown. Why do I have to watch it? Nothing happens on the app. I already deleted that off my phone. Now, maybe if they're going to start doing that, maybe I'll bring it back. So it doesn't make Cesaro look bad. It was a roll-up, and we didn't even see it on the air. Cesaro beats the shit out of Kofi. Kofi looks better because he won the match, and I see nothing negative about it.
It just comes across as such a technical faux pas. And I remember the days of Raw where they didn't even take commercial breaks during matches. All commercial breaks happened after matches. And I was a bigger fan of that, and I wish they would bring that back. Anyone have any thoughts they want to add on to that one? Nope, fantastic. We had a horrible backstage segment featuring Santino Marella, who's trying to throw some type of summertime party, but oh, nobody showed up. But in comes Adam Rose, and he's got Twisted Tea. Whoa, 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 oh, that bee looks hot. Whoa, 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 oh, that's about all I got to say about that segment.
That bee jacked that beer.
I'd let that bee sting me.
Isn't that bad that we're all just like, oh, this like stupid comedy segment with these supposedly funny guys we're supposed to be laughing about, or even at the very least thinking that Twisted Tea sounds like we should drink it, and we're just like, bee's kind of fucking hot, huh?
Well, hey, is she going to be on the Divas tournament now?
She should be. She's hotter than fucking Oksana, who's still in it.
She should be the best ancillary character of the year. But they had to
Oksana, didn't she just get dropped?
Yeah, but she's still in the tournament technically. Although I would definitely vote for the bee over her.
Oh.
She's the bee's knees.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. Thanks, Miguel.
Sorry,
you're welcome.
We're just going to sit here and
that's what we're talking about.
No, we had a match with Dolph Ziggler and Fandango. Summer Rae enters in the middle of the match, kisses Dolph Ziggler, and that causes Fandango to get distracted enough for Dolph Ziggler to get the pin after a zigzag. This whole thing with Fandango, Summer Rae is stupid. Either just bring them back together or let it freaking die. I don't care. Anybody care?
Yeah, let it die like Swagger.
I think you're forgetting the most important thing about this. Dolph Ziggler actually won a matchup on Raw.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He won a matchup.
Yeah, the only one who really cares is Bango.
I cared once. It wasn't very exciting.
Woo, he wins a match.
He might win multiple matches now, Mango.
He wins a match like once a month. Like they'll throw him a bone once a month and get a win over somebody.
I know who he's going to throw a bone to. Summer Rae.
It's funny because they made out in the ring.
Peyton's excited. You said throw.
And I saved the best for last. Goldust and Stardust against Rybacksel. And my only note on this is thank goodness Rybacksel went back to wearing trunks because that singlet he was wearing last night looked goofy as hell.
Yeah. Looked like an old man wearing that singlet.
Stardust gets the win. He does this mic check looking move. Another new move for him to have in his arsenal. And that's that. Anybody want to throw any notes on that one?
Kind of looked like... What's Miz finisher?
Skull Crushing Finale.
Oh, yeah. It's like that, except the other way around. Kind of.
It's kind of.
That's what I thought at the time.
It reminds me of Kennedy's old finisher.
I very much...
Or Anderson's, whichever you want to say.
Wait, this... Swanton? Oh, no, never mind. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
The mic check.
Yeah, the mic check. There we go.
Let's open up the phone lines. We got another caller in here. This will probably be our last one for the night. We got a caller from the 302 area code. Caller from 302, you're live on the NPR Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. I'm Mike from Delaware.
Mike from Delaware. All right. I think I remember you calling in before. How you doing tonight, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm actually 5x combo in the chat, too.
Oh, you found a way to call in. Great, man.
Figured it out.
What'd you think about the show tonight?
It was really good. There were only a few really terrible things that happened, but the good things that happened were all really amazing. Like the Rob Van Dam, other, just a lot of good. Like, I really don't want the Usos to drop the belts. And it looks like that's where they're headed. And it looked like that's where they were heading before. But I was really glad when they retained last night. So.
Yeah, well, we did our predictions. We had a lot of people counting the Usos out. It almost came off as a surprise when they retained. And I was absolutely happy for that. I mean, the Usos still have a lot of momentum left in them. And I think they could still go for a number of months. I like the Harper and Rowan connection, but I don't see them as tag champions. I just see them as background guys for Bray Wyatt in the meantime until they decide to do their own thing. But out of all the returns tonight, what return stuck out to you?
Oh, okay, I did want to talk about this.
Go ahead.
I was watching Raw, and I saw it was like returning to Raw, someone who was whatever, and I was like, well, maybe it's Chris Jericho, because like I don't... social media, but Chris Jericho is always one of the ones that I have. He does a lot of cool things, like with his band and everything. So I figured I'd actually like keep up with him and what he does. And he's been quiet for a few weeks now. So I thought it was going to be Chris Jericho when The Miz came out, but it wasn't. And I marked out. I jumped out of my seat when Chris Jericho came out. I was excited.
It's amazing. He can light up the entire arena and light up everybody watching. Doesn't even say a word. I mean, it's not quite the level of one of his last returns where he literally did not say a word, but he just stood in the ring and smiled, and the crowd was electric the entire time.
Yeah. He started show age. And... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. He's starting to show age a little bit. He looks older, and hopefully that's not going to be physically, it's not going to show in his match. Really happy to see Chris Jericho back. Nice to see Miz back, I guess. We don't have enough jobbers anymore, so that's good. AJ's not as hot as I remember her being.
I'm not really
like,
feeling
I'm not
this 18 hand.
Yet, but she looks like too young for me. creepy.
Oh, Mike, what was your high point and low point for tonight's show? What was your favorite point and your least favorite part of the show?
Okay, so I just remembered something. Before this, the one thing with Dolph Ziggler and Summer Rae, they started out doing the like something that looked like real kissing, and I was like, they're finally going to stop the fake, awful-looking WWE kissing that everyone does, and it looks so stupid whenever they do it, but they went right back to it a couple seconds later. I wanted to say that, forgot to, but okay.
Well, you said it.
High point was... Yeah, there you go. High point was probably that Rob Van Dam Seth Rollins match, and the low point was something that definitely made me like cringe a little bit, was when John Cena was trying to talk to Stephanie McMahon, and he just kept mentioning the pile of crap. Like, I never get too turned off by John Cena promos, but that one was really bad.
It's just so cheesy and lame, and especially the night after he just had this huge, huge victory, just to go back to that same old stupid John Cena shtick. It's just unnecessary. I'd like to see a little bit more fire out of the guy. But, Mike, I don't mean to cut you short, man. You seem to be having some connection issues still. Your line seems to be cutting out, and also we're running out of time here. But definitely appreciate you calling in. Try calling another time, man.
All right, sure.
Have a good night, bro.
See you later.
I don't know. It keeps going in and out. Thanks for calling in, Mike, a.k.a. Five Times Combo from the chat. We appreciate it. We've got about 20 minutes left here, so we're going to start heading to the final parts. I forgot to actually mention another segment on here, the freaking Damian McMahon Dow. He comes out dressed as Vince McMahon, Damian Sandow that is. He actually does a pretty good Vince McMahon impression for a little bit, but this segment goes south really fast when Stephanie McMahon appears on the screen, all pissed off, tells him that he has a match against the Great Khali, who comes out, does the chop, and in 2 seconds, the match is over. And it just soured me on the whole damn segment, because I was liking where it was going at first, and then... anything you guys want to throw into that?
Was that a fart?
It was a raspberry.
Oh, okay.
It is a shame, though, that this went from really funny to just shit. Which is kind of a thing that usually happens with Khali, doesn't it? Anytime Khali comes out, makes things worse. Whether he's dancing or he's wrestling, if you could call that wrestling.
I don't remember the last time
he's breathing.
I genuinely enjoyed a Khali segment.
I can't remember any time I remembered a Khali
segment. Oh, no, I remember the last time I enjoyed a Khali segment. It was when, I forget who it was against, but there was like a singing contest, and they were singing Christmas carols, and it went to the Khali, and it was like, fa-ra-ra-ra-ra, fa-ra-ra-ra-ra. That was pretty awesome. But aside from that, anything where it involves him actually being in a match, not so great. But anybody want to take us home on this segment?
It was a match.
It was a match. I was about to say no, it wasn't, but you're right. It was technically a match.
I wouldn't call it a match.
Well, with that, this will probably be part of it. Let's start checking out what our good, bad, and ugly would be from tonight's show. Yes, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show, our least favorite part of the show was, and what the most embarrassing part of the show was while we were watching it. And for that, let's start going around. Mr. Drew White, why don't you start us off with your good, bad, and ugly?
Okay, my good, well, it's going to be two things. It will be the return of Chris Jericho, and then we're also going to go with that RVD Seth Rollins match. I liked them both. My bad, I don't know. There's not really that much bad on the show, but if I was going to have to pick out a bad, I don't like picking out Divas segments, but I kind of have to at this point. It's just going to be the Naomi spiel. And then my ugly, there wasn't really anything too ugly, but I guess it just had to be the McMahon-Dow thing, just because, fuck, why not?
Mr. Fuego, you're good, bad, and ugly.
As far as the good goes, it's going to be the easy one. It was the whole Chris Jericho segment. As far as bad goes... And I'm probably going to have to go with the same as Drew with that Divas segment/match. And ugly, there wasn't really anything that offensive on the show. If I had to just pick something that was really dumb, I'm probably going to go with the Twisted Tea bullshit.
Mr. Miguel, your GBU.
I'm going to have to trumpet what Drew's saying. Chris Jericho's return was the high point. Bad segment would probably be the Divas matchup, just because usually they focus on the wrong aspects of it. And that whole weird .com thing, I don't even know what to say about that. And ugly's the McMahon-Dow segment. I mean, how has the mighty have fallen is all I can say in that regard.
1 year ago, Damian Sandow was the Money in the Bank holder, or one of them anyway.
Yeah, gives you hope for Seth Rollins.
Tony Mango, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Well, everybody went with Jericho, so I'm just going to be a little bit different here. I'm going to say my good is the Jack Swagger face turn. I think that has a lot of vitality to it. And even though I did like the Jericho thing and all that, that should get a little bit of a credit too. My bad, McMahon-Dow, because the first half of it was awesome and the second half was equally as terrible. And my ugly, everything about the Twisted Tea commercial except for the B.
Absolutely.
Is that very PG, promoting alcohol on their show?
That's a very good question.
None of them were drinking it, right?
No, and I guess it is just tea.
No, it's alcohol. It's got alcohol in it.
Let's grab some of them out of the chat room. The good, the frenetic pace. Oh, this is from Grapple This Productions, by the way. The good, the frenetic pacing of the show. The bad, Triple H in the hood. Speaking of Bonix, that was actually really funny.
Yeah, I fucking laughed at that. That was almost as good as his Bad News Barrett impression.
Which he did again on this past Friday SmackDown, by the way. He's really, like, running that one for all it's worth.
Right.
Why didn't he just take the Intercontinental title and pretend he's Bad News Barrett? He's gone.
Actually, that'd be fucking awesome.
And his ugly is the awkward Divas title change by a roll-up. And also Alex Moorhead saying good was the six-man tag team championship match, as well as Y2J. The bad was the Damian Sandow segment. And the ugly is every time Cena wins. Well, there you go with that one. And my own personal good, bad, and ugly tonight. I'm actually, Tony kind of took my idea. I wanted to give the secondary appreciation to the Jack Swagger face turn tonight. And another reason why I want to point that out is because, of course, a Chris Jericho return is going to go over like gangbusters. Of course, an AJ Lee return is going to go over like gangbusters. Last week, if you told me Jack Swagger was going to turn face and every single person in the arena was going to stand on their feet for the most boisterous We the People of all time, I might have needed some convincing. Tremendous way that this all played out. And props to Jack Swagger, props to Zeb Coulter, props to the crowd, and I will even say props to Rusev and Lana for being a good foil for that to happen. My bad, I'm going to say, is the stripping of Bad News Barrett. Not of his jacket or any clothes, I mean of the Intercontinental title. I'm not saying it wasn't the right thing to do. I just think it's highly unfortunate that he was a rising star, and to see this happening to so many people over and over, and I guess you'd just be getting used to it as a wrestling fan, but to just have seen it happen to Daniel Bryan, now have to happen to Daniel Bad News Barrett as well, just crummy. And my ugly, I think this is actually going to be a unanimous one, is that damn Twisted Tea commercial. That was just so freaking stupid. Waste of time. And Santino's new shirt is very phallic looking. Just throwing that one out there.
Have you seen the We the People shirt where it's just Jack Swagger grope shirt?
Yeah,
that thing's fucking awesome. Man. When he first wore it and did his actual gesture, it looked fit perfectly.
Yeah, it's all great until you start getting women wearing it, and then it's awesome.
Ooh, I see what you're doing there. All right, guys, let's start wrapping things up here. Let's give each host a little bit of time to talk about all the things they're doing in their lives that they think you should know about. Mr. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Well, then, if you like sports, you can always join the Verbank City. I don't even know how to finish it. Verbank City sports group, whatever the fuck it's called. I wish I had notes. I don't. I come unprepared. Follow me on Twitter, Drew Crew for Life. Fuck Tony's Tykes, because I always say that for some god reason. I don't know why. And that's it.
Way go.
That was not a plug. All right.
What?
All right. For To follow all your mixed martial arts needs, go to udmma.com, facebook.com/udmma, and twitter.com/udmma. Also, check out Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio. For all your information on that, you can go to facebook.com/addictedanimefans. Kaboom.
Mr. Miguel Leon.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com, you can check out the Untitled Movie Show with myself and the usual suspects over at our channel. We're going to have a special guest there. We got an interview with an actress named Maggie Maddock, who is going to be talking about her most recent 2013 release, a movie by the name of Eat. We're going to be talking about that and her career as a whole. She's appeared in a bunch of other things, so we're going to be able to talk about that. And our main topic for that episode is going to be on the MPAA. And as a third bit, we might have a certain guest from this show appearing, because I have thrown it out to the rest of the producers. And Drew, you are allowed to join us this week. So if you want to come on to the show, you're more than welcome to. So check us out. Check our interview out. Check Drew White out. The Untitled Movie Show, 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com, tomorrow night.
Drew, what do you think? You going to be there?
Ooh. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Ooh, about time, Cal. I don't know. That might be a tough one.
they might not time cow you there.
So, Drew, what Miguel. Do you think about Drew? What do you think about this movie? Well, this is a movie.
Miguel, I'm going to send you the sound file so you can time cow Drew. Tony Mango. Wait, you just did your plugs, didn't you?
No.
Oh. Well, then you're not going to get to do them because I'm moving on. No, okay, go ahead.
Well, real quick, everybody, SmartCowMemma.com for all the wrestling kind of stuff that's going on there. Smack Talk is going to be reviewing the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on the next episode. You can check that out at youtube.com/SmartCowMoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. Go to BleacherReport.com to see what I'm writing there. Go to FanboysAnonymous.com for everything that we did with the Too Many Games convention that happened the past couple of days. And for everything else geek like that, you can find there. And for everything else under A Mango Tree, you know where to follow that. There's links all over the place.
And that's going to be wrapping us up here on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post show. We appreciate everyone who got involved this night. Lots of callers, lots of people on the chat room. It was a super exciting night, both on Raw and for us here on the Raw post show. If you enjoyed it, please join us every single Monday night. We're here on MegaPowersRadio.com following the conclusion of Raw, and it's the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We always invite you to get involved in the chat room, on the phone lines, via Twitter, on our Facebook page, even in our Facebook group. If you haven't yet joined that, check out it. It's called The Mega Maniacs. It's in the show notes. I'm going to start putting the link there every week. Go ahead and join it so you can keep in contact with us all throughout the week with things that are going on in the wrestling world. And until next week here on Mega Powers Radio, I'm Mike Payton for Miguel Leon, for Drew White, for Stephen Huego, and for Tony Mango. We'll see y'all next time here on the NPR Raw Post Show.